I was going to wait till the weekend before the election to speak on it directly, but with all the early voting, I decided to go ahead and preach on the election today. If anyone thought I wouldn't say anything about the election, you probably don't know me very well. But in today's bulletin, there is a voter's guide for serious Catholics from Catholic Answers. It's very thorough, very concise. So take that home, read it, study it, and make sure you study that before you go out and cast your vote. Some people say that religion should stay out of politics, or you should keep politics off the pulpit. But I would say that's very un-American. Because the way our system is supposed to work is that religion and morality is supposed to form people's consciences so that they can select leaders that are moral and will uphold the common good. Imagine for a second if we said we don't want our government bound by any morality. We want them to be completely immoral. Imagine on one hand how crazy that sounds, and on the other hand how dangerous that would be for a society. So there's an obligation for religion to inform people's consciences. And from a Christian perspective, as your pastor, it's my responsibility before God to speak to you the truth. So one day I'll have to stand before Christ and give an account for my ministry, and there's certain things that a priest must speak out on. And so I would be failing you as your pastor if I didn't speak the truth. Some people worry that elections can be divisive. They can bring up divisions within the church, and so they feel uncomfortable bringing up topics like that. But I would say elections shouldn't be divisive. If we're all followers of Christ, and we all accept Christ's teachings, we should have the same fundamental beliefs and the same fundamental values. And those same values, those common values, should inform how we approach the election. So an election should not be something that divides us, but something that unites us behind common principles. Nothing that I say today should be controversial, simply the teachings of the church. And so if we find ourselves not in accord with these, perhaps there's some conscience formation that needs to go on within our consciences. When we look at the election, there's a lot of different issues that have moral implications. Our foreign policy and how we're approaching Syria and Iraq, immigration and how we deal with the chaos that's bringing in the Southwest and throughout our nation, tax policy. There's all sorts of different issues that have moral implications. And Catholics can have different views on what the best course of action is for many of those issues. There's a lot of gray areas. The principles we hold in common, respect for the sacredness of life, respect for human dignity, but which policy is going to best deal with the immigration policy with the problem? Which policy is best for the tax code? People with well-formed consciences can disagree about those issues and still be in good standing with the church. A parishioner could even disagree with their priest or their bishop on issues like that. Not on the fundamental principles, but on specific legislation or specific approaches. Two people could side in different places and still be perfectly in good standing with the church. But there's other issues that are so clear and so black and white that there's no room for debate. The church calls these objective moral evils. There's certain things that are so contrary to the will of God and so intrinsically evil that no Christian could stay in communion with God and uphold or support those things. There's five objective moral evils listed on the voter's guide from Catholic Answers. So read those and memorize those five before you go out and vote. But to give an example that'll help bring this home, I'll give an extreme example. Let's say that there is a political candidate who said that they wanted to perpetrate a genocide against a certain segment of the population. They said, I want to butcher 100,000 people a year, every year that I'm in office. But they had a really nice tax cut for the middle class. Like, I kind of like the tax cut. Can you vote for that person? No, you cannot vote for that person in good conscience because the evil that they're promoting is so terrible and so destructive that it outweighs all the other issues that are at play. So that's what the church is talking about with objective moral evils. Now that example may seem outlandish, except for the fact that we have candidates running for office that are not promoting the destruction of 100,000 innocent lives, but the destruction of 1 million innocent lives per year in our nation through abortion. If any of you watched the most recent presidential debate, the third one, Hillary Clinton said on national television that she supports abortion right up through the process of birth, partial birth abortions, that she upholds that. She said that she wants funding to go from taxpayer money to abortion. She wants a repeal of the Hyde Amendment. She said that she wants to fund Planned Parenthood to continue to do so with government funding. She is openly promoting abortion and the destruction of life within our society. And what I say today, I don't want to target this at women who have had abortions, because I know that that is something that is very painful and can bring terrible memories and a lot of guilt that those women live with. And the church offers them mercy and forgiveness. There is healing. But those women can testify better than I ever could about the evil that abortion brings to a nation. And we have people running for political office who are supporting that. So no Christian in good conscience can support a candidate who's promoting evils like that if there is an alternative candidate. It's a sad statement that the most dangerous place in the United States of America is in a mother's womb. And just because abortion has been legal for 43 years since the Roe versus Wade abortion in 1973 does not lessen the evil, even though many people have become desensitized to it. But I assure you, our Father in heaven is not desensitized to it. And as we hear in the first reading, the Lord hears the cries of the oppressed. Even if we become desensitized, I can guarantee you our Father in heaven cares about each life that is lost within our nation today just as much as he cares about the first lives that were taken in 1973. There's an abortion on average every 23 seconds. That'll be 36 over the course of this homily, over 3,000 per day. So the scale of this evil is horrific. So because this is an objective moral evil and something that is so pervasive within our society, no Catholic can vote for a pro-abortion candidate and stay in good standing with God and the church if there is an alternative, even if that alternative candidate has moral flaws. Keep in mind that when we select a candidate, we're not just voting for a personality. We're voting for someone who's promoting an agenda and policy. And especially with the president, we're voting for someone who's going to appoint Supreme Court justices, federal judges, and heads of different departments of the government. And so we have to look at who politicians are surrounding themselves with, in addition to individual politicians. If a Catholic votes for a pro-abortion candidate or anyone, can that endanger their salvation? Yes, absolutely. It can rise to the level of a mortal sin. Why is that? Because it's cooperation with evil. By casting a vote for a pro-abortion candidate, if that candidate is promoting abortion and an individual helps to put that candidate in power, then the person who voted for them bears the moral responsibility of what that candidate will do when they're in office. And so if there's a pro-abortion candidate and someone votes for them and that candidate takes office, then that person on the day of their judgment will have to account for the blood that has been shed from the moment that candidate begins to enact their policy until the repercussions have finished through the course of human history, which could go on for many decades or centuries. Keep in mind that when we're talking about abortion, we're not just talking about domestic policy. But for example, the Obama administration used money from the U.S. government that we give to foreign countries as a bargaining chip to coerce other nations into legalizing abortion. So the United States has been promoting and trying to coerce nations worldwide. And so this is not something that's just limited to the United States. Because God is a God of living, and because the very first command he gave to the human race was to be fruitful and multiply, and because he is a God of life, and because abortion brings death, they're opposed to each other. And anyone who casts a vote for a pro-abortion candidate, if there is an alternative, separates themselves from communion with God, They separate themselves from communion with the church, and they should refrain from receiving the Eucharist at Mass because they would not be in communion with the church for as long as they persist in that sin. Other major issues at play: the institution of marriage as a union between a man and a woman, as well as religious freedom, are going to be very important issues in this election. Some people may ask, if I don't like either candidate, should I just not vote for either one? Pope John Paul II taught us that in the case of a greater evil and a lesser evil, it is permissible to vote for the lesser evil to prevent the greater evil from coming to power. Should we not vote at all? Well, the danger with not voting at all, and what we have to ask ourselves in good conscience, is if not voting at all allows the greater evil to come to power, then we would have a moral obligation to vote for the lesser evil, the course of action which will limit the amount of evil that's done. So keep that in mind as you know, address the issue, should I just not vote at all, or should I vote for the lesser evil? Take the course of action that will limit the evil to our nation. Someone asked me, should I vote for a candidate because they're Catholic? No, don't do that. Just because someone is baptized Catholic does not mean they're living in accord with Catholic teaching and going to uphold the values that we hold to be as sacred. For example, Tim Kaine was baptized as a Catholic. He has a 100% rating from NARAL. NARAL is a pro-abortion group that evaluates candidates. You could not have someone more supportive of abortion than Tim Kaine. He is their perfect, ideal candidate. So do not just look at whether someone's baptized Catholic. Look at whether they are living the Catholic faith and whether the values that they're promoting are in accord with proper morality. Perhaps one of the failures of our nation's democracy is that the most innocent among us have no voice and they get no vote. So if you're wondering and you're wavering as to who to vote for in the upcoming elections, if you're in doubt, then what I would encourage you to do is side with the most innocent and vulnerable among us. When you go to the elections and cast your vote, make your vote a vote that will stand for those who cannot vote for themselves and who have no voice in our government. Let your vote be their voice. And imagine for a second if for one election, every Catholic, just the Catholics in this nation, would vote with a properly formed conscience and uphold the sanctity of human life. In a single election, Roe versus Wade could be reversed. If Catholics, just Catholics, would vote with a well-formed conscience. And so I encourage you, study the voter's guide, form your conscience as well, and cast your vote for those who have no voice.